Welcome to another inspirational podcast from Nations Church. For more great content and updates, visit nationschurch.com.
How you guys doing? Myra, you doing good? Happy to be at church. Hello to our online campus as well. And for those of you that are watching online, but you're actually not part of our online campus, why don't you let us know who you are? We'd love to pastor you and journey with you along the way. But God is going to do something incredible today. Do you believe that?
I want
to encourage you as well, for those of you that are living in Perth, we've got our revival prayer night tomorrow night. Now more than ever, the world needs a church that is praying. And so if you're not usually part of that, you don't come to a prayer gathering, we want to encourage you, make every effort to be there, because we need you to lend your faith and we need you to lend your voice, because the world is hurting right now. There's many, many parts of the world, and maybe you're watching right now from that part of the world where you've gone back into lockdown. You need to know that our hearts are with you. We're going to be praying for you tomorrow night. And how many of you know that when it comes to a hurting world, the only way that a world can be healed is by meeting the healer, and his name is Jesus. Do I get a resounding amen?
Amen.
Jesus is the only one who can truly transform and change a life. I love the fact that Jesus would lift us from where we were and where we used to be and the life we used to live, and literally pull us through his grace and by his grace into the man or the woman that God has actually created for us to be. Literally leaving behind what is old and coming into what is new. And that's why today we get to journey with and celebrate the people that are making that public declaration that their old life is gone and that their new life has been raised up again in Christ. And right across all our Perth campuses, there's probably about 45 people that are going through the waters of baptism across our 9 services today. And so we're going to be celebrating with them in this service as well, the handful that are going through the waters of baptism. And I love the fact that this is ultimately what Jesus has come to do. Jesus has come to restore and make whole what is broken. How many of you believe that? That we have, how many of you are so grateful that we've got a Savior that has come to restore what is broken and to make it whole? We see this happening and played out in real time in the book of John chapter 4 in our Bible. For those of you that may be Bible readers, it's quite a popular account. It's the account where Jesus, a male Jew, sits down at a well and speaks to a Samaritan woman. The context of the day is that people of those two demographics simply did not mix. They simply would have not had it. It would have been socially inappropriate for them to have a conversation. But how many of you are glad that Jesus does not respect those social norms, that he comes to the earth and he presents himself as being for everyone everywhere? Can we give Jesus a big shout of praise for that? So grateful that every person of every tribe and every tongue and every shape and every size and every skin color is welcomed by Jesus. And so we pick this up here in John chapter 4. It says, now he had to go through Samaria. So he came to a town in Samaria called Sychar, near the plot of ground Jacob had given to his son Joseph. Jacob's well was there, and Jesus, tired as he was from the journey, sat down by the well. It was about noon. When a Samaritan woman came to draw water, Jesus said to her, "Will you give me a drink?" His disciples had gone into the town to buy food. Verse 9. The Samaritan woman said to him, "You are a Jew, and I am a Samaritan woman. How can you ask me for a drink? For Jews do not associate with Samaritans." Jesus answered her, "If you knew the gift of God and who it is that asks you for a drink, you would have asked him and he would have given you living water." Say, living water.
"Living water."
"Sir," the woman said, "you have nothing to draw with and the well is deep. Where can you get this living water? Are you greater than our father Jacob, who gave us the well and drank from it himself, as did also his sons and his livestock?" Jesus answered, verse 13 is an incredibly powerful theological statement. Jesus says this, "Everyone who drinks this water will be thirsty again, but whoever drinks the water I give them will never thirst." Say, never thirst. "Indeed, the water I give them will become in them a spring of water welling up to eternal life." Can we give Jesus a big shout of praise for that incredible passage of scripture? Today, I want to speak to you on the thought in the few minutes that I've got, from broken to whole. From broken to hold. This account is accounted in great detail in the book of John chapter 4, one conversation between Jesus and a random Samaritan woman. It is accounted for by with many, many verses. And as we begin to read John chapter 4, we discover that this woman has been married 5 times. She's now currently living with a 6th man. The circumstances surrounding the way that she comes to draw water in the heat of the Middle Eastern day to avoid the crowds and avoid people just tells us about the situation that she finds herself in. She's probably riddled with shame. She's probably riddled with guilt. We probably know by context, some of the scholars believe that she was probably unlikely to have been able to afford living on her own or to support herself. So she depended on men. Men would have used her and discarded her after they deemed that she was no longer used to them. And so she would get into one relationship after another. And whatever it is how you might read John chapter 4, it does depict a person at the lowest point of their life, having an encounter with Jesus. How many of you are so glad that Jesus doesn't come to encounter you in your mountaintops? He comes to encounter you in your valley. And here is Jesus, and he sits down at the well and begins to have this chat with her. And I believe that this passage in John chapter 4 is accounted for in such great detail because it's powerful on two fronts. Firstly, it's because it's very relatable. We can relate to this Samaritan woman and the life that she finds herself in. And secondly, this passage in John 4 gives us big theological revelations about the way God wants to deal and love us and accept us and relate to us as human beings. I mean, not that many of us in the room might be able to relate to being married 5 times, but we can relate to the fact that sometimes life doesn't just get us down, it keeps us down. Yeah. How many of you with me? Yeah. Sometimes life just gets us in a place where we feel like we're stuck. Situations and circumstances keep us stuck in ruts that we can't get out of. And maybe you're here today and you might not be able to relate to the relational rut this woman was finding herself in, but maybe the place that you're stuck in right now is a financial one. Maybe the place that you feel like life is holding you down in is in the area of your family or your parenting, or maybe it's in your career or whatever it is that you find yourself being stuck in, and it's at a low point in your life. You need to know that you've got a Jesus who wants to meet with you right where you're at. This account in John chapter 4 also reminds us that Jesus is in front of us all day, every day. And catch this, he might not be offering us the very thing we might be looking for, but he is offering us something we may have never thought to look for. Sometimes we want a Jesus that would immediately fix our problems, but we have a Jesus who presents himself to us all day, every day, whether you know him or not. He is presenting to you himself, and he might not give you the solution to what you're looking for, but he might give you something you've never thought to look for. And that is a transformed and changed life in him. See, so much of the life that we live outside of Jesus is a life that simply just has to get by, simply struggle to get along. This life that is actually separated from God leaves us trapped with which we have no means to get out of it ourselves. The Bible calls that sin. And I don't know what you think of that word sin, but that word sin is so much more than just wrong acts. It is the permanent state of the consequence of living without God, trying to figure it out on our own, the permanent state of chaos and confusion and all of those things that we find ourselves in when we live a life without God involved in it. And here in John chapter 4, Jesus plays out why he comes into the world. With this one critical conversation in John 4 with a Samaritan woman, Jesus plays out his intention for humanity to present himself to us, not just to meet our need, but to change our lives. And to this, Jesus uses the genius of water. It is an absolute genius analogy, because how many of you know that no human being can survive without water? It is translatable across every era. From 2,000 years ago when this account was recorded to up to now, humans cannot live without water. I know some of you think you can live on coffee. Drink more water. You need to drink water. It is good for you. We cannot live without water. And here is this woman who knows that she can't survive without water. And yet she is caught in this place of, oh, I've got to go to the well to get water for my household. Otherwise, I won't be able to live. And yet not wanting to go to the well because that's where everyone was. This was before Water Corporation. Hello. It's not that you can just turn the tap on and everything on the inside of it would have had to fought that desire to live and get water and yet feeling the shame of not wanting to be out in public because everybody knows about her junk. Come on, are you out there? Being stuck in that rut. And here, Jesus meets her at her water gathering day of the mundane of life. And Jesus, as we begin to read John chapter 4, begins to tell her all that he knows about her. He says, woman, you've been married 5 times, and the man with which you're with now, you're not married to. And begins to tell her all about her life and the state of brokenness that he finds her in. A very simple solution, I guess, for this woman, fully knowing that this man could be the answer for her life, would have looked to Jesus to simply deal with her water getting problem. Because you could probably imagine that she would have walked every day to the well in the peak of the Middle Eastern sun, saying something like this to herself. I'm just so sick of doing this. I would just wish someone would just deliver me water to my door so I don't have to do this every day of my life. And yet Jesus, fully knowing the problem of water fetching for this woman, doesn't say to her, woman, I've come to sort you out. From here on in, I'm going to click my fingers and every day water will be delivered to your doorstep. He doesn't say that. Instead, he gives her something she never thought to look for, which is himself. He doesn't offer her a solution to fix her problems. He offers to transform her life. He says to her, you might be looking for a solution to the problem of fetching water. I'm giving you something better. I'm giving you living water. It's just the genius of what Jesus has done for this woman. And here's the thing you need to understand about water, is that this woman needed to receive Jesus into her life. What do I mean by that? Do you know that I can die of thirst standing next to water? Hello? Do you know that I can die of thirst researching water? I can die of thirst writing a PhD paper on water. I can die of thirst Googling water. I can die of thirst discussing water. I can die of thirst debating with you about the best type of spring water. Water itself will not sustain my life. Drinking it will. Just like Jesus, you can think about him. You can reason about him. You can debate about him. You can research him. You can Google him. You can watch YouTube clips. None of that will transform your life. Receiving him will. Do I get a resounding amen? Come on, online believes this. This woman, by simply being around Jesus, didn't get her life transformed. She didn't get her life transformed by meeting Jesus. She had her life transformed by receiving Jesus. She didn't have her life radically changed by introducing herself to Jesus and having a conversation with him. She had her life radically changed when she drank of this living water. She believed that Jesus was who he said he is. And today, Jesus, no matter where you're at today, if you're watching online or here in the room, Jesus wants to meet with you at your water gathering moments in life. Maybe you're here today and you're just going through the mundane of just the grind of work and catching the train to work or to TAFE or to university or whatever it is, that you're dropping the kids off at school and your life is full of situations and scenarios and circumstances that you just wish someone would come and fix. I want to introduce you to someone who may not give you what you're immediately searching for, but he will give you what you never thought to search for, which is himself. Do I get a resounding amen? And today we're going to see and celebrate with the handful of people today that have made the decision to receive Jesus into their life and to see their life radically transformed, leaving behind what is old and coming into what is new. And that is incredibly exciting. But you know what? That's not the end for this woman. One of us would have loved to have read that story and go, fantastic, she drinks this living water and now she's radically changed and transformed and she goes home and she's on her merry way. And every day from that, she just, you know, gets on with life. No. The Bible doesn't record that this woman actually goes home. Let's pick up the account of where this woman goes in John chapter 4, because I don't know if you've caught on to what I'm saying. This woman has come from a life of incredible brokenness. You might be sitting in church today or watching online, you might be thinking to yourself, oh, you know, my life is not quite as bad as that woman who's like been married 5 times and now living with a sick, because that is really bad in your mind. You're like judging her, right? You know, but I want to say this to you today. We all have the Samaritan woman in all of us. We must never be too proud to say that, come on, we all, this Samaritan woman is relatable to all of us, because we all have either are going through our past right now, or we have a past that we're trying to leave behind. Come on. And here is this woman. In a life of brokenness and darkness, Jesus has made her whole. What do I mean by being made whole? It means that Jesus has come into her life and healed and restored her, and doesn't just assure her of an eternity with him and to save her out of an eternal hell, but he literally restores her out of hell on earth. That's why Jesus said, I've come to give you life and life in abundance. It means that your life can change right now here on earth. But here is the thing about whole people. There are certain things that whole people do that previously in our broken state we would never dream to do. In the book of John chapter 4 with this woman, she doesn't go home. She does some things that you would have never thought that she would ever dream to do. John 4 verse 27. Let's pick up the story. It says this. Just then his disciples returned and were surprised to find him talking with a woman. But no one asked, what do you want? Why are you talking with her? Verse 28, this is going to blow your mind. Then leaving her water jar, leaving what was familiar, leaving the grind of the everyday life, the woman went back into the town and said to the people, come see a man who told me everything I ever did. Could this be the Messiah? They came out of the town and made their way toward him. What is going on? This is a woman that tried her level best to avoid everyone. And now, being made whole, she behaves in a way that she would have never imagined herself behaving. It's the first thing you need to know about whole people is whole people go to people that need Jesus. Come on, are you out there? Yeah. If Jesus has transformed your life and made you whole, you need to know that he made you good to go. Yes. Hello. I'm so glad that Jesus radically came into my life and he made me good to go. Some of you are not catching this. He made me good so I could go. Yes. He made me good to go. And here is this woman. She encounters Jesus. She receives this living water. She doesn't go home and goes back to hiding in her house. She goes into the city to be with people, the very people she tries to avoid. Whole people go to people that need Jesus. And the second thing that she does is that she opens her mouth to tell people about Jesus. Second thing is whole people tell people about Jesus. If Jesus has radically changed your life, there's a testimony on your lips that people need to hear. For those of you that are getting water baptized, you need to know that what has happened to you in your life, you need to tell people about it. You can imagine maybe this woman walking into the city, feeling a sense of trepidation to some degree, because she probably has mental conversations that we all have had. Oh, I'm not sure if I should tell the crowd about what happened to me at the well, because, you know, they all know about my situation, and you know, I know all the women in town kind of maybe talk about me, and maybe I've got nothing good to say. And but she fights all of that in her wholeness, and she begins to tell people, I have met this man who's radically changed my life. He told me all about my life. Come on, are you out there? Maybe you're here today and you're feeling, I've got nothing good to say about my testimony. My testimony is not all that spectacular. I kind of maybe just went to Sunday school, and somewhere along the way, I just you know, believed in Jesus, and I'm still at church. I want to say this to you today. You just tell your story, because your story has already been pre-prepared for someone else's ears to hear. Don't you hold people, tell people about Jesus. Jesus. The third thing is that whole people bring people to Jesus. This woman goes into the town. She doesn't just go to people that need Jesus. She begins to tell them about it. But then she says, come. It's such a crucial word. She says, come, come with me. I want to bring you to the man that's probably going to do to you what he did to me. He didn't give me what I was immediately looking for, but he gave me what I never thought to look for. Come on, are you out there? Yeah, I want, come with me. Come see the man who radically transformed your life just like he did mine. Wow. There's something very powerful about a church that understands its status of being changed from broken to whole. And to that, I want to say this to you today. Come on, church. It's time to go. Yeah. It's time to tell. Yes. And it's time to bring. Yeah. Can we give Jesus a big shout of praise? Yeah. so good.
Thanks for listening to the Nations Church podcast. For more great content and updates, visit nationschurch.com.